Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist from Copycat Killers, Real Channel's true crime program about real murders inspired by movies. Be sure to subscribe to our series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find true crime TV series like this one on Reels Channel.
This program contains graphic violence. Your discretion is advised. The Basketball Diaries. A gritty, coming-of-age movie about a high school basketball star's descent into destruction.
Leonardo DiCaprio starred in the film. Audiences could tell when they watched DiCaprio that we were going to be watching him star in films for a long time to come.
In Paducah, Kentucky, a high school freshman receives the same level of notoriety for a very different reason. He dreams of recreating the movie's most violent scene.
When you're seeing something that you can identify with, it's like you're seeing your own pain and suffering.
And before long, he decides to act on his bloody fantasy.
We had not seen anything like this before, and certainly not in our own backyard.
911, what is your emergency?
Gunfire, this is Barbara McGinty.
Where's the shots fired? The lobby of the high school?
The lobby of the high school. We've got at least three down.
I pretty much had to be told that life as I knew it was completely over and that my life would never be the same.
It's a copycat killing that leaves a small town shaken to its core.
He wanted that power. Now was the time. He wanted to be Jim from the Basketball Diaries. He was in control and he was angry.
In April of 1995, New Line Cinemas releases The Basketball Diaries, a film based on musician Jim Carroll's popular autobiography by the same name.
Tyler Richardson, film critic.
Before The Basketball Diaries made its way to the screen in 95, it had been passed around and spoken about for years.
The role of Jim would eventually go to a young actor by the name of Leonardo DiCaprio.
There's just a spark about him, and they put him in this role as a lead actor for the first time, and he just ran away with it.
But in the small town of Paducah, Kentucky, The Basketball Diaries brings up memories of pain and horror.
911, what is your emergency?
Gunfire, this is Barbara McGinty.
Where's the shots fired? The lobby of the high school?
The lobby of the high school. We've got at least three down.
Three down? Okay, who's the perpetrator?
Michael
Carneal. Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist.
No one saw this coming. No way, no how. It was unbelievable.
Like all Americans, I was shocked and heartbroken by the terrible news, which I followed very closely when it broke. Of course, we still don't know all the facts surrounding the tragedy or why a 14-year-old boy would take a pistol and open fire on his classmates in a prayer group.
Across the playground at the high school, you got subjects down, shots fired.
Carrie Sharp, first journalist to interview Michael Carneal.
He mentioned watching The Basketball Diaries. And there were comparisons made between that movie and what happened at Heath High School.
Fourteen-year-old Michael Carneal is a quiet kid who calls Paducah his home.
Paducah, Kentucky is actually the quintessential southern Midwestern town. It's actually quite beautiful. There's a small town feel to it. Everybody seems to know everybody else.
Michael's family is well respected and liked throughout the tiny community.
So how was school today?
It was great. I got an A in math.
Oh, great.
Oh, thanks. And they announced the solos in choir and I got a solo.
Excellent.
Christina Elgood, Nicole Hadley's sister.
Michael grew up in a family where his dad was an attorney here in Paducah. His mom was a stay-at-home mom. He has an older sister who was involved with all kinds of things at the school.
Hey, Mom. He does.
Although Michael comes from a strong family, he's an average student at school, something his friend Nicole tries to change.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Oh, hi, Nicole.
Hi. I'm good.
My sister was friends with Michael, I believe, pretty much from the time that we moved here.
It doesn't take long for their friendship to blossom.
My sister and Michael were always friendly with each other.
It's a bond that Michael cherishes.
Nicole's gonna help me with some homework.
Nicole, you're welcome to stay for dinner if you'd like.
All right, that sounds great.
Very good.
My sister would tutor Michael in math and help him with his math. She enjoyed doing that. She was extremely intelligent and enjoyed helping other students in any way she could.
But Nicole is one of Michael's only friends.
Michael wasn't succeeding academically. He wasn't a known athlete, so he wasn't in any school sports. And on top of that, socially, he had become very isolated, but he still wanted friends.
I have a feeling that Michael really kind of blended in a lot of ways. Even his dad said, Michael wasn't really a participant in life. He was more of a spectator in life.
Michael's fellow students often pick on him, which makes him feel like an outsider.
When Michael was in middle school, the school had a newsletter, and there was a column in it called Rumor Has It. And students were able to put just about anything in there.
They're just being stupid.
And at some point, it was printed that Michael Carneal was gay. You have to look back and remember yourself as a 12, 13, 14-year-old and remember all the awkwardness that was, you know, a part of that. And then something like, you're gay, is thrown at you in this small rural town. And how this would affect especially someone who always felt they were already on the outside looking in.
Don't listen to the...
If we're looking at something that was the key to his downward spiral, we'd have to point at when that piece was published.
For the remainder of the school year, Michael is bullied.
They would say he was gay, he was a faggot, he was queer. Now he had this label that he was fighting as well.
Don't listen to them, Michael.
It affected him academically. It affected him socially, and it really formed the groundwork for him to start becoming isolated and lacking in self-esteem.
The following year, Michael enters Heath High School, and the bullying continues. Now upperclassmen, preps and jocks join in on the teasing.
He even told me there was a pecking order and I was at the bottom of it.
In an attempt to make friends, Michael decides that he needs to stand out.
We know that Michael had drives to make friends, and we know that because when his family was asleep, he was working on downloading pornography from his computer. He could sell the pornography to people at school, not only to have their respect, but also attempt to make friends with them.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
But Michael's friend Nicole isn't impressed.
Who was that guy over there?
Oh, yeah, he's just a friend.
Yeah, a friend.
Nicole definitely did try to change Michael's behavior and the way that he would act.
Well, what'd you give him?
What did I give him?
I saw you give him something.
Just papers. Some papers and notes.
Yeah. Papers.
She tried to encourage him to not act the way that he was acting or be involved with things that he was involved with.
Trying to help her friend, Nicole decides to invite Michael to a prayer group.
The prayer group were very nice, sweet, loving students and friends of mine who were really there just to try to start the day off with a positive note.
But Michael has an ulterior motive for joining the group.
I believe Michael developed a crush on Nicole their freshman year of high school. I believe their freshman year was when he decided he wanted to pursue their relationship more than just being friends. Nicole had made it clear to him that she would not be interested in dating someone like him.
Once again, Michael is rejected.
As time goes by, he continually felt more isolated, more on his own. And we even learned that he would spend a lot of time in his room.
Michael looks for an answer to his problems. Then he comes across a movie that he thinks might be it.
He was watching the film, The Basketball Diaries. This is a movie that certainly teenage boys can relate to. It's about a teenage boy who feels he doesn't belong. He's successful in basketball, but he hates his school, and he hates some of his peers.
And there's one scene in particular that catches Michael's eye. It's labeled the dream sequence.
For the dream sequence in the film, Leonardo DiCaprio fantasized about taking revenge. He comes in a black trench coat and a shotgun. And while his friends cheer him on, he executes students.
DiCaprio's character is cool, powerful, and free to do whatever he wants. It's everything Michael wants to be.
When we identify with a character, we're watching to see what that character does. Because their solution can possibly be our solution.
Michael Cornell told me that he had extreme feelings of sadness, loneliness, and depression, and that they just kept getting worse throughout this time. And he even told me he just didn't know how to deal with them.
Now Michael wants to teach the kids at his school a lesson, just like in the movie, The Basketball Diaries.
I never had any fear of Michael. I never thought of him as someone who would do harm to anyone. He was just an average kid who, to me, never seemed to be any type of threat.
Shots fired from Trumpet Lake Road at the high school. I got two subjects down inside the lobby.
In 1995, The Basketball Diaries gives audiences an inside view into the seedy underworld of heroin addiction.
When viewers saw The Basketball Diaries, they hadn't seen what a lot of addicts can go through. And to see a character who has so much promise and the world potentially at his fingertips go from that to being an addict, it was jarring.
But for Kentucky teenager Michael Carneal, DiCaprio's character becomes a role model for murder.
When Michael saw The Basketball Diaries, he could relate to it very, very clearly.
Leonardo had been abused in the school, so he came in and he shot several students with a shotgun while his friends cheered him on.
It really triggered something in him and said, I can relate to this. This can solve my problems.
The film inspires Michael to steal his father's gun.
For him, he's holding power. And holding that gun speaks to him. I am powerful. I am in control. I can do anything.
Michael decides to bring the weapon into his school. In the lobby, Nicole's prayer group gathers.
Puking everywhere.
Yeah.
Whoa! Is that a real gun?
Yeah.
Let me see that, dude. Oh, yeah. My God. I'm James Bond, guys.
Yeah, check this out.
Paducah, Kentucky is very open when it comes to guns. I personally think there were probably a lot of students who, from time to time, brought some form of gun to school just because they didn't think anything about it.
You ever shoot it before?
Well, yeah, I've got my hand on it a few times.
Nice.
Oh, hey, Nicole, check it out. It's my dad's gun.
Did you seriously bring that to school?
Yeah, but I just wanted to show people.
Yo, what's going on here?
Dude, that's a real gun.
Yeah, that's a real gun.
Dude, nice. Dude, this thing's sweet.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you. Dude, I gotta show Kobe this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice, man.
I can't believe you, Michael.
When Michael brought his father's gun to school, he was hoping to use this gun to win favor with this older student who he's trying to impress.
A few days later, Michael sees the senior who took his gun.
Hey. Can I get my gun back? I need it back. Oh, yeah. That, I sold that. Get it on my face, loser.
Things never really seemed to work out for Michael Carniel. They just didn't go his way. He couldn't get his stolen father's gun back. It was gone. Now what was he going to do? Again, he'd been defeated.
That's when Michael discovers a group that hates the popular kids almost as much as him.
Michael seemed to always be looking for his group. Who would accept him? He started focusing on the goth group.
Nice coat.
Yeah, seriously.
When the goths stand up to Michael's bully, he's immediately impressed.
Some of them even wore trench coats, like Jim did in the Basketball Diaries. So Michael felt that he had found his niche.
You look like someone who's never been punched in the face before.
Yeah, you look like someone who's never been stabbed in the gut before.
Whatever.
They are against everything that is normal and good. They stand against it. They don't want to be the in crowd. They don't want to have anything to do with the in crowd.
I like your coat.
Huh?
That was cool what you said to him. He's a jerk. See you around.
Who was that?
Following the incident, Michael sets out to show his new friends what he's made of.
Yeah. I got the stuff I was talking about.
Okay.
He steals money from his father's wallet, and he took $100.
My dad's not gonna notice.
Oh, that's so cool. Thank you. All right.
He was clearly trying to break rules to show he was a bit delinquent, a bit on the fringe, willing to stand out in the wrong ways. And he thought that would win him favor with these goths.
How about this, too?
What
For the first time since entering high school, Michael has found a group of friends who have accepted him.
Yeah, you know, it's a step up.
Okay.
Now, in the basketball diaries, Jim is wearing a trench coat. In reality, Michael is now part of the goth group, and he is wearing a trench coat. So you can't just dismiss that. This is a movie that affected him strongly, that he related to and that he identified with. And now he's living the life.
But Michael's new friends despise the school's prayer group.
Look at them being all pure. They think they're perfect because they're what?
Yeah.
Being Jesus.
Oh, they're not going to hell anyway.
You had this prayer group that met every morning and prayed. And then you would have the goths on the other side who stood against that and often talk loudly during the prayer just to make a point.
Even as a goth, Michael is still plagued by bullying.
Someone really needs to do something about that kid.
Well, he's got nothing better to do.
Something he won't stand for much longer.
I never once thought that he would in any way want to harm anyone. I thought he was just trying to figure out who he was.
It's Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner. Did you know you can stream the Copycat Killers TV series on Roku and Fire TV? Well, you can. Just download the Reels app and subscribe to see the TV show behind this podcast. And if you've got Prime, it's on Amazon channels too. You could even find episodes about killers inspired by Twilight, Child's Play, and The Omen before they're released here. Plus, you'll get to see what I look like in the show. I know you're curious. Copycat Killers comes from the real crime fans at Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. That's Reelz.com.
New Line Cinema's film, The Basketball Diaries, boasts an all-star cast.
When the film came out, we have a fresh-faced Leonardo DiCaprio, and then there were a lot of other faces that we know now. Mark Wahlberg, as he was young, Ernie Hudson, Juliette Lewis, just a lot of talent in that movie.
The movie is known for the gifted performances of its young actors, as well as its realistic violence, including a scene in the film where the lead character Jim dreams of executing his classmates.
Jim Carroll brings his gun to school and begins to shoot his classmates. It's graphic and hard for a lot of people to watch.
But one fan in Paducah, Kentucky cannot turn away. 14-year-old Michael Carneal watches the school massacre scene on repeat. He's a loner who's been bullied for years.
Someone really needs to do something about that kid.
In The Basketball Diaries, you see the main character open fire, and those who were his friends cheer for him while he was committing this heinous act.
Losers.
Someone really needs to do something about that kid.
Get out of my face, loser.
You doing okay, man?
Hey.
I'm fine.
All right.
And I think Michael just wanted people in general to cheer for him.
While at home, Michael starts acting on his twisted fantasy.
He was stealing knives from around the house and then hiding them in his room underneath his mattress.
He thinks maybe he can bring a knife to school and terrorize his classmates. But Michael's parents intervene.
Michael, mind if we come in?
We need to talk, Michael.
Your mother and I just got a very disturbing call from the school.
So the administration calls home and talks to Michael's parents and lets them know how Michael is acting out in school.
Mr. Carneal,
What you got in the backpack?
Books and papers.
You're picking up a lot of students with some questionable material.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you're responsible, and I think we need to talk about it. And I think we need to go to my office right now.
You realize, of course, there have to be consequences for these actions. You are grounded now.
And the TV. Take the TV for a week at least.
Absolutely. This is until further notice, until you show us that you can be trusted.
So you think about your behavior and the coats going with us. No more trench coats.
We're very disappointed in you, Michael. We don't want to hear this kind of thing again.
We love you, but you need to change your behavior now.
The punishment only isolates Michael even more.
Things were going on in Michael's head that no one had an idea about.
Michael starts to display signs of mental illness.
He started covering his vents in his room because he would hear voices, and he thought that monsters were under his bed. He even had a name for them, Danes.
Because Michael is grounded, he grows distant from the Goths, his only high school friends.
With the Goth group, his connection to that group is very fragile. They've grown tired of him. And maybe this is why Michael feels, I don't have any real friends. Because if I had real friends, they would see that I'm having a lot of problems. He feels completely alone in his isolation, with no help coming from anyone.
By November, Michael's mental state is deteriorating. Like his idol from the basketball diaries, Michael writes it all down in his journal.
Throughout the film, Jim Carroll keeps a diary where he's crying for help, and there's dark poetry, and you can really tell that he needs someone.
This is so much like the basketball diaries. Michael wrote a paper in his school and handed it in about killing the preps in school, killing other students in another group that he despised and hated.
Michael wants revenge, and he knows how to get it. On the night of November 25th, Michael slips out of his bedroom window and goes to a place where he knows there are weapons.
Over Thanksgiving break, Michael decides to break into his friend's garage.
For a young 14-year-old who feels powerless and out of control and being bullied, guns can mean a great deal. Because with a gun, you do have power in your mind, and you are in control in your mind. You also have the ammunition to attack your suppressors.
He finds all the guns, he bundles them up and puts them in a bag, hops on his bicycle with that bag, and rides home.
The next morning, he walks into school with a .22 caliber handgun and three clips of ammo stashed in his pocket. There, he sees the senior who stole his father's gun.
Michael, in his mind, feels just like Jim from the basketball diaries. Boy, are you gonna regret ever making fun of me.
For Michael, revenge is just a few feet away.
Hey, take a look at this.
In 1995, Leonardo DiCaprio plays a high school athlete who hates the world around him.
The Basketball Diaries is based off of the autobiography of Jim Carroll. To prepare for the role, Leonardo DiCaprio went and hung out with the real Jim Carroll in Greenwich Village, where he lives, and he watched as he read poetry, and people think that that was instrumental to the performance that he gave in the film.
But it's one of the movie's most violent scenes that leaves a lasting mark on high school freshman Michael Carneal.
In the dream sequence within the film, Carroll brings a gun into school and kills several students and his teacher in an act of revenge.
Hey, what's up, nerd? Can I get my gun back? I need it back. Oh, yeah, that, I sold that. Get out of my face, loser.
Now, Michael is out to get a little revenge of his own. He's brought a stolen gun to school and wants to scare a senior who publicly mocked him.
He now is a man with a gun. And is invincible. Just like Jim in the Basketball Diaries. You can't stop him.
Hey! Take a look at this. Here he is again, Michael, with another gun. Must be a toy gun.
Back up, don't come any closer.
Huh? Give it to me.
It all kind of just blows up in his face. And he's left feeling powerless, out of control, and a failure.
Oh, actually, it is a real gun. But there's one problem. It's not even loaded. What loser would come to school and bring a gun that's not even loaded?
And to add insult to injury, Michael never even loaded the gun. So if his goal was to scare or shoot, he failed in both.
But Michael won't allow himself to fail again. Michael is finally ready to make the dream sequence from The Basketball Diaries a reality.
He had a 30-30, he had 4.22s, earplugs, and 1,000 rounds of ammunition, all in his room. I don't even know if Michael Carneal knew exactly what he was going to do at that point. I don't think he had a plan on paper, but he certainly had a lot of ammunition, and he knew he could do something big.
The next morning, December 1st, 1997.
I went to school thinking it was any other day. It was our first day back from Thanksgiving break.
Michael takes his small arsenal to school.
So here's the day after Thanksgiving. Monday morning, Michael's back in his high school, where he wants to be accepted. Except now he has a secret.
Never did it cross my mind that anything bad would happen that day, let alone any day. My life was about to change forever.
In the dramatic film The Basketball Diaries, the movie's lead character, Jim, dreams of walking into his high school and gunning down his classmates.
In the dream sequence, Jim enters the classroom and he's wearing a black trench coat. He's almost silhouetted and He begins firing on students with no regard for human life. It's a very violent scene.
In Paducah, Kentucky, 14-year-old Michael Carneal uses the movie's dream sequence as inspiration when he seeks revenge on his fellow classmates. At 7:41 a.m., Michael is ready to start his copycat crime.
People say he calmly opened his backpack. He loaded the .22.
He seemed very powerful and self-aware.
And he stood up and he started firing.
The lobby of the high school.
We've got at least three down.
Three down? Okay, who's the perpetrator?
Michael Carneal.
And it only lasted a few seconds.
Just when it feels like this terror will never end, everything goes quiet.
He told me he just remembers hearing everyone crying and screaming and seeing people on the ground. The principal got Michael. It was chaos. There laying in the lobby are three girls clinging to life. You have other students who were shot and critically hurt, others who were just grazed by bullets.
Michael's childhood friend, Nicole, is one of his victims.
I stood there not knowing what was going on. And I walked right up to my sister and I saw her laying on the floor.
Nicole, are you okay?
Time stopped and my world changed instantly.
Michael told me that he thought if he committed the shooting, all of his problems would go away, and that he never thought about what would happen to the people. I don't think Michael Carneal ever thought it out. I don't think he thought about one moment after the shooting what would happen.
When police arrive to Heath High School, Michael is quickly detained. It's a media circus outside. There has never been a school shooting in Paducah, Kentucky, prior to this event. And it's all because of a movie. As the chaos dies down, police learn Michael has killed three classmates and injured five others.
I believe that I speak for every American in sending our thoughts and prayers to the parents of Casey Steger, Jessica James, Nicole Hadley, and the wounded children, and the entire community of West Paducah. We must redouble our efforts to protect all our children from violence and to make sure our schools are free from violence and the means to wreak it.
And he did say that he had no explanation why he did it. He wouldn't even pretend to give an explanation of why he did it. He just said, it was just kind of like I was in a dream, and I just woke up.
Michael claims that he didn't target anyone. I don't believe that. My sister was standing a few feet away from him. I believe that he knew without a doubt that he was shooting her. She was the first one who was shot. My sister was always a fighter and someone who was strong, and we never thought that anything like this would happen to her and that we would lose her this way.
In 1998, 15-year-old Michael is charged with 3 counts of murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, and 1 count of burglary. At his trial, Michael comes face to face with his victims and their families.
I watched you shoot my brother, try to kill him and 5 other people. If I have to watch that, you look at me right now. Thank you.
I don't have any hard feelings towards you. I'm just upset that this happened. And I'm upset that everything had to go this way, but I can live this way. It's going to be hard, but I can do it.
He takes a plea deal and is sentenced for 25 years in prison without the possibility of parole.
When he's finally sentenced, Michael pleads guilty, but with mental illness.
It is determined that Michael suffered from depression and schizotypal personality.
It's still a shock to the community, but it's a greater shock to Michael's parents to know that their son is a killer, but also that he's mentally ill and living with them during this entire time.
A year later, his case sparks another trial.
Parents of the victims of Michael Corneille, they felt so strongly about the influence that violence in the media had that they took up a lawsuit in 1999 and went after the makers and distributors of the Basketball Diaries.
Even though Michael claimed he had watched the movie several times and he was inspired by it, the lawsuit was dismissed in 2000. Although he idolized the Basketball Diaries, for Michael, life doesn't imitate art.
In the end of the Basketball Diaries, Jim Carroll is reading poetry in an auditorium to a captivated audience, and it's clear that he has made a turnaround from his addiction, whereas Michael Corneille did not have a happy ending, and he went to prison.
People who commit violent acts generally are susceptible to violence in the media, because that's what is perpetuating their brain.
It's bittersweet closure for those closest to the case.
Losing my sister is hard to explain. A piece of me is gone. And our family made the decision that we were going to donate her organs. And the fact that so many people are alive today because of that means so much to my family. We were able to join together and make something good from something that was bad.
In the aftermath of the crime, Michael Carneal's victims will always be remembered in the little town of Paducah, Kentucky.
If there's anything that can come out of this shooting, I hope it starts the dialogue or continues the dialogue of mental illness in children. Clearly, there was something wrong with Michael Corneille that nobody understood. And I think this shooting shows just how devastating mental illness is in children.
If you enjoyed this episode of Copycat Killers, don't forget to subscribe at Podcast One or Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com. That's Reelz.com for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including chilling reenactments and crime scene photos you'll only find on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. I'm Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner.